Time to dive back into the legislative session. Time to welcome into the studio for the first time, State Representative Roger Wilder. How's it going, man?
It's going good, Ryan. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to have you in here. Your first session out there. Not shying away from getting into the thick of it right off the bat, huh?
It's third session. We had two specials.
Well, that's the first regular session. Okay.
That's some practice.
Okay. No, yeah, you did. You got to make a new map that's probably going to be thrown out. And then the crime session, I don't want to underscore or try to downplay the importance of the crime session. A lot of good work got done there.
I agree.
And now regular session opens up the floodgates for everything. You've gotten involved with a couple of different bills. You've penned a few bills. One of them that's garnering a little bit of attention here is, I believe it's HB 608.
Yes, sir.
It is the Women's Safety and Protection Act. Let's talk a little bit about it. What made you want to write this bill?
I think the reasoning behind it is we can't be arbitrary into entrances of these types of spaces. And I think that the reason I wanted to write the bill was to affirm the right to privacy for women and girls. I mean, mm-hmm. The bill simply seeks to provide for the right to privacy for women and little girls when they're in, you know, private spaces.
It's been dubbed the bathroom bill for the most part.
Well, that's fair, but could we call it the shower bill or the locker room bill or the dorm bill or a changing facility bill? Because it's dubbed one thing, but it
right. Well, I mean, it gets dubbed the bathroom bill, but yeah, it's basically the anytime you're naked bill is kind of how that bill.
Or would like some privacy.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's talk about a little bit what the bill actually does, what it actually says.
Well, the bill was written to set a clear standard for state and municipalities.
Mm-hmm.
The locals have the flexibility to address how they would like to see that, you know, work out in their areas.
I mean, okay.
So the bill simply defines, I think, what we would all agree, or most would agree, we've known since time immemorial. I mean, it defines, unfortunately, having to define into law what is a male, what is a female, in order to, again, you know, not have arbitrary decision-making.
To go along with that, I mean, you're obviously going to run into some blowback from this because of just the national media, which has not been really dialed in on it thus far. But the national narrative, let's say, would create some pushback on a bill like this. Where did you go for your definitions?
So I saw, I mean, give me all the credit you want, but don't. I mean, I had an idea towards what we wanted to accomplish here. I engaged numerous other groups. The Freedom Caucus has helped, the Louisiana Family Forum. Gene Mills and his group has been incredible. The Alliance Defending Freedom. So it's not a solo effort. It was a vision, an idea. We looked at other states' legislation, and we worked to craft something that was, objective and black and white.
The other states' legislation part was kind of the part that I was looking for here, because oftentimes when we craft legislation here in Louisiana, one of the questions that gets asked is about constitutionality. Well, if others have blazed this trail before us, then we're following something. We're following a template that's already been written.
And a couple templates.
Okay. What sparked this? What made you want to do it?
Well, I mean, I think the clarity. I mean, I have a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I think there were concerns in that respect. I mean, more specific to the district. I mean, in our district, we had an incident where at one of our public facilities, we had a biological male demanding access to the female locker rooms and changing rooms where there are girls in there from 4 or 5 years old and up. And the park declined to allow that. And it came to discussion about, well, is it legal, illegal? And then they were like, wow, is the park going to get sued? Are we going to get sued? So I think when you start throwing legal words out there, I'm not an attorney,
right?
So if somebody wants to throw legal terms out there, you're not sure what to do. So this law gives clarity in that area.
Following along with that, one of the arguments that we've heard against it is that this affects nobody. You're tilting at windmills here and drafting a law that doesn't affect a large enough part of the population. But at the same time, though, this started from an actual incident within your district,
right? And the one question that I think is been asked a lot that I, you know, what example of harm do you have? My question is, how many do we need before it becomes an issue?
Very good question.
And I've got dozens of examples of harm. Some of them are quite graphic when you discuss. I think the biggest one was Loudoun County, Virginia.
Okay.
This, you know, that father that had a daughter who who was the second case of an assault in a restroom by a student who went into one school, did it. The school board kind of hush-hushed it, moved him to another school, and then he did it again in a second school. So, you know, and then the father goes to the school board meeting, and he was very upset and ends up going to jail. So I think that when you call it a Women's Safety and Protection Act, I think any right-minded father may see some protection for himself in this if he were put in that same situation.
No, I would. I am also a father of daughters, so I'm right there with you on that. There needs to be clarification. There needs to be some level of, this is what we've known since the beginning of time. Don't hit us with something new and expect everybody just to hop on board immediately when it comes to I'll call it a passing narrative.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've gotten some pushback. But I think once you, once you read the legislation, once you see what's in it, how it's written, I think one thing I've learned in this Capitol is that people assume what's written and don't read it.
It happens a lot, Roger. It does.
So this bill was thought out and written objectively with compassion as much as possible to get the point across and to still maintain and protect the dignity and affirm the dignity and worth of every individual.
We got State Representative Roger Wilder with us talking about HB 608, the Women's Safety and Protection Act. Representative Wilder, let's talk a little bit about the overall reaction that this bill has provoked. On both sides, let's start with the good. What kind of good have you heard about this bill?
The support. I mean, we've heard the obvious reasons, like you mentioned, the things that we've known kind of since time immemorial with how we should see the separation in the biological sexes, but beyond that, I think a lot of people have said thank you for the clarity,
mm-hmm.
because it's a lack of clarity. I mean, you can't be arbitrary about certain things. I mean, I have an 11-year-old son. If he decides tomorrow he wants to be 18 and I support his decision, I don't think any of us want him driving a car down the interstate or barreling through a school zone at 11 years old.
Probably not.
So I think that in some cases there's things that have become arbitrary that should not be. So I think the support comes from that side for objective law that we can stand on. The opposition, I've gotten some opposition with really good reasoning, and I've said, look, this is not a zero-sum game. We can win both sides of this. The facility that I'm referring to in my district actually spent money and built a third use area.
Okay.
They solved the problem with compassion, but they also solved the problem while protecting the right to privacy for the females in that facility. So it's all about, well, it's you can only do this. We can only have it one way where we have everyone going into these use areas with little girls. No, we can't have it only one way. We have other options that we have to explore. So some of the opposition has just been mean-spirited, which is going to happen on any number of bills.
Sure.
But some of it has been through the ability to talk to people and talk to some of these other legislators and really understand, look, maybe there's other options here.
We get State Representative Roger Wilder with us. So when it comes to the pushback that you've gotten, and if I'm hearing you right, there's been some reasonable conversation. How does reasonable conversation start? Because that's not what we get to hear about on the outside looking in. We get the headlines. We get the sound bites. We get the people that shout the loudest and wave signs. What does the reasonable conversation sound like coming to you, not at you, to you from the other side?
Well, I mean, reasonable conversation starts with reasonable dialogue and good decorum. I had a number of people in the House. Myself started by going to other representatives, a lot, the females in particular, the women, and saying, look, I've crafted this. I would like your help to make it better if possible.
Okay.
Period. Some people came to me with ideas. Look, I mean, opposition aside, this bill passed with 80 votes.
Yeah.
This bill got 10 Democrat votes. I think there's bipartisan support because I think when you get to it and look what it is, it's not a negative bill.
80 to 17. I mean, that covered the spread, let's just say.
A little bit, I think.
it did cover the number. Now, inevitably, when you have a bill like this comes out, there's going to be more vocal, less reasonable pushback. The calls for, you know, interest immediately just saying go into the hatred card, going to the bigotry card. How have you combated that along the way?
I mean, you just have to know what you're trying to accomplish. I mean, you can say what you'd like to say. Anyone can say that. I know what we are trying to accomplish with this. It has nothing to do with hatred. I don't hate anyone, but I'll say it over and over and over and over and over. This bill simply seeks to provide for the right to privacy for women and little girls. It's that simple.
It's cleared the House side. It's headed over to the Senate side, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It has been amended, or I should say re-engrossed a couple times already. So you've already been open to change a little bit within it.
Yeah, we've had some language changed to ascertain the concern that the domestic violence shelters had. Our federal government likes to use the power of their dollars to coerce us to do things that they haven't written into law.
Mm-hmm.
So they were concerned about funding. So the Attorney General was part of this process and amended some language pursuant to their request.
Have you gotten any feedback from the Senate side yet as to where this is headed? Because I would expect the Senate to be reasonably close to where the House was here.
I'd like to think that considering we've passed legislation like this or close to this before that's been vetoed, which means it got out of both houses. We have 10 co-authors in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm positive, but at the same time, you know, we'll see how it goes. I think we have support.
Overall effects once this, because I'm looking at this and 80-17 on the House side. I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but I would assume close on the Senate side. And I don't see a world in which Jeff Landry vetoes it. Real life application as this thing plays out.
So it's a state level bill.
Mm-hmm.
My mindset is the Constitution. I don't like when the federal government doesn't respect the 10th Amendment. So I didn't want to write something or be part of something that's going to force 64 parishes to adopt it. So it's for state level facilities. It sets a clear standard on a state level. And, you know, I think it removes the ability for a unelected bureaucrat in the future or present to be arbitrary and make a decision that affects people by codifying this into law. But again, the law goes on a state level. The locals have the flexibility to address if they decide to even pull it into the local level.
The exceptions within, you mentioned the domestic violence shelter. Are there other exceptions too?
Nothing's come up yet. Their concern is that would affect their funding. I think when we read the document they had sitting in committee, there was actually a column that addressed that what they were doing actually covers their concern. But in order to address their concerns in any manner, again, we were open to something that doesn't change the nature of the bill that would make the bill better.
Last one on this one, and we kind of want to touch on the rest of the session as a whole in our last 3 minutes after sure. that. But last one on this one is that as the federal, you know, the narrative federally or nationally, as the winds blow, the conversation will shift in many different directions. Is this bill amenable or adaptable to future change on a national level?
I mean, anything's amendable and changeable, but this bill, again, it's simply to give my daughter or your daughter the right to know that she can go in a bathroom stall in the most vulnerable place and not be, you know, lose her trust or innocence. I think the wind's blowing left and right may be why we're doing this.
Well, and I think the bigger part of this, and I don't want to put words in your mouth here, but the bigger part of this is not about the transgender community as much as about those who would violate that and fake like they're part of the transgender community.
I would not disagree with your statement. There has been no desire to push this onto any in particular group of people or a movement.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I respect the public facility in our district that actually built, they spent money and solved the problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there was a third answer.
Simple
example. In the 1980s, the federal government came out with the ADA, American Disabilities Act.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, you didn't have any way to get over a curb or anything. Now, moving forward, they address that. Perhaps someone could bring some legislation and attempt to address this in their respect. But, I mean, it could be amended. It could be changed. It could be any number of things.
Well, as time and society moves forward, we're going to continue to see more conversations like this. And having someone that's open to the conversation, having someone that says, hey, let's make sure everyone is part of the conversation, I think is an important part of the bigger narrative.
Listen, I'm one of 105. I tell people, I'm one of 105 CEOs in there all trying to make a decision. So when the vote came and I sat down and realized we had 80 votes, I was like, wow, this thing was done. The people who put their time and effort into this, they deserve a lot of credit. I was able to go down and deliver it.
We've got literally 1 minute left with State Representative Roger Wilder. What else are you working on? Just a bullet point.
Well, the only thing big that I'm working on other than this has been dubbed the Roger Hates the Kids bill. I mean, I've got a bill that right now in our state, we force minors to take a break, and it puts a lot of burden on businesses to keep up with paperwork, administration, potential fines. And a lot of businesses simply don't hire 16 and 17-year-olds.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to work with people to understand that the nature of the bill is to open up hiring for teenagers, remove the obstacles, make it more pro-business, like Texas doesn't have this law, Mississippi. Everybody around us doesn't have it, but so you get the spin of hatred to begin with.
Well, they're the ones that have the energy. It's you and me that need a nap.
Oh, I'll take one.
As State Representative Roger Wilder, not the last time in studio with us, I'm sure, but I appreciate you hopping
absolutely.
On board.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.